You're listening to KALW San Francisco Local Public Radio at 91.7 FM. And now, here is the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you, Damian. Welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend. It's beautiful out there, but if you can spare us an hour tonight, we would appreciate it because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are welcoming your participation. It's very, very important to us. Our lines are mostly open right now, so please give us a call as soon as you can, and we will get you on. Sometimes it does get just a tiny bit crowded toward the end of the show, but we try to take as many calls as possible, so please give us a call as soon as you can. That number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. And you can also call us toll-free, and I lost my little piece of paper with the toll-free number on it, 866-798. What is it? What is it, Damien? Oh, never mind. He's not listening. Okay. 41. Well, stick it at 415. 8255.
It's 866-798-8255.
Good job.
I have a tattooed on my wrist.
798-82. Okay, once more. 866-798-8255.
Yeah.
Okay, and it only took me 22 years to remember that. All right. So we'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Feel free to give us a call. And we're going to start with a round of introductions. I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter. That's one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Feel free to email us any old time. We don't read it during the show, but they all get read, believe me. So it's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. And if you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of this show, God willing, it should be available reasonably soon afterwards, also at kalw.org. So, all that being said, we will start with a round of introductions. And here's the first. Jerry Nachman went to Starbucks last week and ordered a small decaf latte with extra talking points.
Thank you, Dana.
Very good.
Thank you. Yes. Lori Fisher is here tonight because he is out of the running, excuse me, in his office March Madness pool. His selection system was based on determining which mascot would win. Apparently, a badger is always going to lose to a wildcat, and Spike the Bulldog can't beat a Blue Devil. Who knew?
Yeah, I didn't. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, has decided not to go to Terre Haute, Indiana to get married. He will fall back on his second choice, Zanesville, Ohio.
All right. So that is us.
Good choice.
Yes. Yeah. With questioning with Jerry Nachman.
All right. What American songwriter had the most songs on the charts, not necessarily top 10, but just on the charts, in the 20th century?
Neil Diamond. Is somebody like Neil Diamond or way before that?
It's mostly pre-rock era.
You have to consider who's asking the question.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jerry would not be asking this question.
Not all pre-rock.
If Neil Diamond was the answer.
Okay. Well, see, this is good.
So
that's right. You've learned that.
Yeah.
So go with Jerry, not logic necessarily.
So it's going to be something like Richard Rodgers.
Good reasoning. Yeah.
Or Irving Berlin.
No.
But okay. the charting of songs started in, are we going back to like sheet music days, like the 20s?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. So it's right. Really when pop, okay.
Yeah.
But it's more Richard Rodgers than Neil Diamond, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right. This is good.
Do you have a number on actually how many songs?
No, and I was going to try to get a few of the titles of the songs. But yeah, I didn't have time.
That'd be helpful.
Yeah. Well, no, I wasn't going to. No, that was going to be in the answer. I wasn't going to.
Oh, I see.
Because you would guess it right.
So this
right.
May not matter, but is it the person who wrote the lyrics or the music? Or
the music.
The music. Okay.
It's not Richard Rodgers. It's not Irving Berlin. So, all right. Okay. Just read the whole question once more.
What American songwriter had the most songs on the charts in the 20th century?
All right.
A composer, not a lyricist.
See, Damien has a thought. It's Quincy Jones.
No.
That misses the Jerry Nachman theory.
it's a
great.
What do you mean theory?
No,
that'd be somebody you would know and like.
Damien, you don't know who you're dealing with, Damien.
He'll learn.
He'll learn. He's young. He'll learn.
How about Harold Arlen?
Who?
That's
Harold
a good guess. Arlen.
No, that's a good guess. No? Yeah, no? Right.
He's no Quincy Jones, but he's pretty good.
No.
Never mind.
Quincy has a lot, but not...
He does. I think he has more Grammys than anybody.
I think he does, too. Yeah. But not for composing,
that's
for producing.
True. A lot of things.
Good point. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Gareth from Union City.
Hello.
The songwriter, it's not Johnny Mercer, is it?
No, it is not. It's a composer.
Yeah. Well, he was a composer, too.
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry, what is it?
He said Quincy Jones had more Grammy Awards. Ron, it's Sir Georg Schulte, the conductor.
Oh, that's right.
Well, for popular music.
But he owed more. In fact, he won the bulk of those Grammys, though, for his Richard Wagner cycle.
Quincy Jones?
No.
Okay.
No, I doubt it was Quincy Jones.
All right,
fine. Question.
All right.
What do Rita Hayworth and Ginger Rogers have in common?
Yeah. They're both pretty good dancers.
Yeah.
Dancers, but they share something else. Very close.
Very close.
Well, besides Fred Astaire, I guess.
So it's not a co-star in a movie?
No.
Okay.
Something with family.
Family? Are they related?
Yes.
Oh.
Really?
Oh, yeah, wait. Were they both married to the same guy?
No, not that way.
Some other way.
How do you know?
Well, they're related. Well, it can't be anything closer than cousins.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
Really?
They're cousins?
Yeah. Well, I know they're not sisters.
Well, they could be in-laws. That'd be another way.
Right. No.
So how are they cousins?
Oh,
that's it.
Oh,
that's it. Okay, fine. All right.
Well, that's kind of unusual because Rita Hayworth came from a Hispanic background.
Yeah, I can't see now.
Ginger Rogers.
Irish, too.
What?
She was
Irish.
Irish,
too.
Oh, Irish.
Oh, she was. Okay.
All right. Okay.
You know, her father, her uncle was Vinton Hayworth, who played General Schaefer in the final season of I, Driven Genie.
I didn't hear that at all.
Oh, all
right. Yeah, he replaced Barton McClane, but Vinton Hayworth wasn't very good.
Who played Barton McClane?
Barton McClane died during there were two of the episodes, his last episode of I, Driven Genie, were shown during the fourth season after his death.
I can barely see up over the weeds right now.
Here's my second question.
All right.
DJ Todd Short holds a unique distinction in radio history. What is it?
Oh, J. Scott Smart?
J. Scott Smart.
Holds a unique distinction in radio history.
Well, he played the fat man.
What?
He played the fat man and he played another detective? No?
Yeah, something to do with music.
Music? Oh.
Yeah.
Did he compose the theme song to The Fat Man?
No. It has something to do with records. The way they're programmed.
Well, was he a record producer as well?
No.
Well, he was the actor of the lead of The Fat Man, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Yes. Yes, he was.
Well, yes,
that wasn't distinct enough.
J. Scott, you're talking about J. Scott Smart.
No, I said DJ Stodd.
Shores. Oh, that sounded so close, too.
I can't hear the name.
No, I'm sorry. We don't know.
You don't know?
No.
He created a top 40 format.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's good distinction.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. All right. Totally confused. And Laurie Charlie.
All right. I was going to ask a confusing question, but this one won't be.
All right.
So this is, we're right in the season where students are hearing about getting into college. And I have the list of the top 10 colleges that get the most applications. 7 of them are California, UC, and CSU schools. 3 of them aren't. So which 3 schools, Reed, that aren't California schools get the most people applying to get in?
Harvard, Yale, and Princeton.
No.
Neither one.
None of them.
Wow.
Yeah, they don't get this many or even close to this many.
University of Michigan?
No. It's closer.
So this has nothing to do with how many people actually get in. It's just how many people they have applying.
Yeah, but I have a feeling because both are I'll give you the hint, they're big schools. So
like if I said, University of Minnesota.
That would be a good guess.
Notre Dame.
Or Arizona State.
Notre Dame?
Arizona State.
Those are all...
University of Florida, that kind of thing.
Well, one of them's a state university, not any of the states you've mentioned. The other two are private.
So 2 are private and 1... All right, but they're all big schools.
They're all big schools, and the 10th on the list gets 45,000 applications. That's
Boston University?
No.
Are there any Ivy League schools on that list?
No.
Okay.
University of Chicago?
No.
Wow, I get
it. All reasonable guesses.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right, let me think for a minute. One is a state school. Is it a university of school or a state?
No, it's a state school.
Uh-huh.
It has state in the name. you know.
Ohio State.
No.
Oh, I was going to say. Yeah.
Or the Ohio State, as they like to call
it. The Ohio State, right.
Not that one either.
Okay.
Michigan State.
Ohio State.
Michigan State.
Not Michigan State.
Let me take a guess on the private school.
Okay.
But they're big private schools, you said.
Yeah. Oops. Hello.
I'm sorry, my phone is ringing. I apologize.
Is that your cell phone ringtone?
That's the FCC coming to warn us. There's complete chaos.
Yes.
Yeah.
Down, boy, down, down.
I'm sorry.
Going wild in the production group. They had no idea what's going on.
Okay. They're big private schools.
Oh, they're pretty big.
Yeah, so we haven't guessed any of them.
Correct. You're 0 for 17. So
big private school. Well, you said you didn't want any of the ones in California. I don't.
Well, those you could UCLA and UC San Diego.
Yeah,
those were too easy.
NYU.
For this group. No.
Big private school.
One of them's in New York. How's that for a hint?
Oh. Well, it must be NYU. Then.
It's not. Well, Jerry just guessed NYU.
I said
it's
that.
Oh, you said that? Well, then.
They did.
Columbia.
No. No Ivy Leagues.
No, that's right.
No Ivy Leagues.
All right. Okay, give the whole question.
Okay, so in this season of students getting into colleges, on the list of the top 10 schools for admissions, how many people apply? There are 7 in California, not those. Which are in the top 10? Which 3 aren't in California, and we have none of them? Mm. One is a state college.
Which is the number one?
University of California, Los Angeles, got 62,000 applications when this was done.
Mm. Okay. All right. Let's see here. Who was the... what was the name of Edgar Allan Poe's only novel? He only wrote one novel.
I know that one.
Do you?
The Narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym. Is that it?
There's more to it.
Oh, The Narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym. Is there a subtitle?
No. There's more to the title.
Oh. That's the only part. Did I get that part right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
And other stories.
Well, I'll give it to you. Well, it's The Narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym of Nantucket.
Oh.
That's close enough. Yeah.
I read it in graduate school.
Did you?
I did.
It sounds like plenty of action.
Never heard of it.
It's a barn burner. No, yes. Actually, I didn't like it much at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Others may disagree. Call in.
All right. All right. What are the... well, I'll give you a bill for that. What are the 2 cities in the world with the largest synagogues?
Attendance or the size?
No, it's the size of the synagogues.
Oh.
What are the 2 cities in the world that have the largest synagogues?
Israel.
Neither one is in Israel, by the way.
Are they both in the United States or either?
I'm not going to say.
Well, the...
That's a really good question.
Synagogue in New York, which is... What's it called? Sinai? No, no.
St. Patrick's.
No, no. Is it the New York synagogue?
You had to give me the name.
Okay, well.
Oh, the name. I thought you just asked for the cities, by the way.
Well, you should give me the... No, you give me the name, too, if you want.
Okay.
Is New York correct?
New York is one of them. Okay.
It's, what is the name of that? I've been there.
You've been there?
I've been in it.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good.
It's the same name as the synagogue here, I think. What's the big one?
Temple
here?
Emmanuel?
Yeah, Emmanuel.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, Temple Emmanuel
in
New York. Okay, what's the other city with the largest synagogue in the world? It is not in the United States.
Is it in Mexico City?
It is not Mexico City. Okay. That's a very interesting guess.
Yeah.
No, not Mexico City.
A big Jewish population there. How about Moscow?
No. All right. I'll give you one more. What is the best-selling novel of all time by a woman author? And I want the name of the novel.
50 Shades of Grey.
No.
Fortunately. You know, that's not... It sold over 100 million copies.
I know.
I don't know if anything's going to
be... Must be way up there, yeah.
And I heard that over the weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It seemed too many. It's more than that, huh?
This is...
Is it more class... Is it more highbrow than that?
Is it a pop...
Well, that's all a matter of opinion.
Is it... The one by the Australian author that's just
like
died.
The Thornbirds?
Yeah, Thornbirds.
It's not the Thornbirds.
Is it more classic like Pride and Prejudice? Because that has sold so many copies.
Well, let's just say it's considered better than 50 Shades of Grey.
All right.
Again, so what is the best-selling novel of all time by a woman author?
Okay, I'm going to... If I guess Agatha Christie, will you nod your head, and then I'll guess the book?
No, you have to give me the name of the book, whatever.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, I have a question about the Middle Ages.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's where I am right now.
You wish.
Do during that time, there was a certain vegetable that was so valued that it was used. You could use it to pay rent. You could buy groceries. People used it as gifts.
So this is in the Middle Ages.
Middle Ages, yes.
It's a common vegetable. So it's not a potato or a tomato because those came from the New World. So those would not have been around in the Middle Ages.
Rutabagas.
No. No, pretty common vegetable.
Is this in Europe?
Probably in Europe. Yeah.
Onion.
A what?
Onion.
Yes.
Wow.
Really?
Piece of cake.
Yeah, you got it.
Piece of onion.
Good job.
Okay. Onion. Yeah, I wouldn't have done. I was going to guess
onion
the cabbage.
Onion is sort of the Salt Lake City of vegetables. It's the answer to a lot of questions.
I don't like them.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You don't like anything.
No, I like
food-wise.
I just can't eat it because I get heartburn.
I thought it was cabbage, you know, because we call money cabbage.
I thought maybe that's interesting logic.
Okay. Yeah. Incorrect, but really good.
I like that, though. And let's see. I forgot. Yes, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Linda Nelsarito.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. I have a question that's somewhat outside my usual realm.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you can tell me who is described as the strangest man ever to play baseball.
A lot of competition.
Well,
there
are a lot of people who would qualify for that.
Yeah.
Kind of going back a ways.
The strangest man. And would the strangest be his something physical about him or his behavior?
No, I don't think so.
Something psychological.
Yeah, roughly speaking.
Well, Bill Lee was considered pretty weird, but he doesn't go back that far.
Yeah, Jimmy Pearsall?
I don't know him. That's not the one anyway.
Boston Red Sox outfielder.
I'm not a baseball expert, to say the least.
Did you hear Dana's guess at Jimmy Pearsall?
No, that's not right.
Is that good enough for you, Dad? Is that good enough?
Very good. Anthony Perkins.
Yeah, that was my favorite.
You said way back, like in the 30s and 40s?
Yeah, right.
The strangest man.
Mm-hmm. 30s and... Well, how
is he
okay.
strange?
So it's psychologically strange. Is that what you're saying?
That's kind of loose, but I'm not sure exactly what this person... It was Casey Stengel that said this.
Oh.
Okay, so does that kind of help you with the date?
Yeah.
Well...
And this person, whether this makes him strange or not, his last words supposedly were, "How did the Mets do today?"
Okay, well, that can't be too long
ago.
The Mets only came into existence in the 60s.
Marv Thornberry?
No, I don't know him. My knowledge of baseball is very thin, but that's...
Yeah, that's right. Let's see, that's probably before that then. Singles, so much of Singles era was like the 30s.
Well, let me ask you this.
But the Mets are the 60s.
Yeah, I know.
So somebody had to be...
Jive,
yeah.
Linda, let me ask you this. Can you give me an example of this person's strangeness?
Okay, well, I'll throw in a couple of facts.
All right.
This might give it away, but he was a graduate of Princeton and Columbia Law School.
Wow.
Mo Berg?
Yes.
I was thinking very good.
That would give it away.
The catcher who was a spy.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. See, I told you too much, and now you know.
Well, we didn't know anything before, so that helped.
I didn't know anything about him before either, but he was quite fascinating.
Well, he was certainly intellectual. I don't know if that... For Casey Stengel, that would constitute strange.
Well, I think he spoke seven or eight languages.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a side note, my high school English teacher
wrote
Moberg's biography.
Hey, he did?
Yeah, there's a great biography written by my high school English teacher,
Jerry
Grunska.
Is he the one that went to Japan and became a spy?
He did. Yeah. He was a spy.
Is that the book, The Catcher Was a Spy? Was that his book?
No, it was just called Moberg.
Excuse me. Oh. Mm-hmm.
And he went on a baseball tour, but they toured factories, and he took notes, and he could
and maybe
talk many languages.
Also,
I guess he was good enough for his dad. Not like Jimmy Pearsall.
I think we have some issues here.
I think he might have been the only Jewish catcher that I can think of.
Oh, catcher maybe.
Catcher.
Certainly not the only Jewish player.
No, catcher.
Yeah. Right. That's a really that's a good one.
Yeah, all right.
Brad Ausmus might be Jewish.
I don't know him.
All right. And all right, let's see, Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, Time magazine once had a famous all-black cover. What was the reason?
Oh, was it the blackout in New York?
No.
Okay.
That would make perfect sense.
Yeah. No.
It was enough.
So it was just plain black. So it had nothing to do with September 11th?
No. It had the cover line, but the rest of it was all black.
I remember that.
It was a very famous...
It wasn't that long ago.
Very famous cover. Well,
I mean, not really.
50 years ago.
No, I don't remember. But if it was 50 years ago, really?
Wait, about 40, maybe 40 years.
40 years ago. Oh, well, then that's not what I was thinking of.
Not Kennedy's assassination.
45
either.
Years. No?
It was a sad moment in history, yes?
No, it was not a sad moment in history.
Okay. So but not like we're guessing here. Yeah.
Not generally considered, when you say a sad moment. No.
Like an assassination or a
no,
death
nothing
or,
like that.
Or,
no,
yeah.
No black caps, no assassinations.
And it wasn't a natural disaster.
No.
Or an unnatural disaster.
No. Damien's saying no too. All right. Okay. We'll leave it out, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, can I take a guess at the synagogue?
Yes.
How about Bill's Great Synagogue in Jerusalem?
No.
He says not in Israel.
Not in Israel.
Okay. How about in France, Paris?
No.
No, okay. So I have two questions on geography for you.
Yes.
And this is the largest city by area in the U.S. So large, it is larger than the state of Delaware.
Well, okay, two guesses. One is Indianapolis.
No.
And the other is, what was the other one? The other one, is it in Florida?
No.
Well, no. Houston's pretty big.
This thing is 3,000 square miles. It's huge.
3,000?
Not Houston?
Yeah.
But it takes in, like, parkland.
I think it would be fun for audience to get it.
Not Houston. I'm asking you, is it Houston?
No, it's not Houston.
I don't care how many times you say it.
Yeah. It's pretty big. Okay, the second question, there is actually a little town or a city in the U.S. that's called Hell, H-E-L-L. I'd like to know which state is it in.
H-E-L-L?
Is it in Pennsylvania?
Right. No.
Okay.
Is it in Arizona?
No.
Or Texas?
No.
Pennsylvania has the one that has the kind of the risque one.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. Why anybody call a city Hell anyway, unless it's a Hell?
Hell.
Let's leave both of them to the audience and hopefully somebody will get it.
We'll do that.
All
right. Thanks. Bye-bye. And, Laurie, it's your turn.
All right. I am going to ask, one time I asked about first lines of poems. I'm going to give you the last lines of some poems, all well-known.
Are you going to be giving us the line from the middle eventually?
I might. They're all well-known poems.
All right.
And they all have to do with endings of things, I think, coincidentally. The first is, "And drunk the milk of paradise." And drunk the milk of paradise. Second one is, "I first surmised the horses' heads were toward eternity." I first surmised the horses' heads, that's the last two lines, were toward eternity. Number three, there's five of them. "The lone and level sands stretch far away." The lone and level sands stretch far away. Number four is, "Through Eden took their solitary way." You know this one, Jerry. "Through Eden took their solitary way." And last one is, "Till human voices wake us and we drown." So human voices wake us and we drown. So, "And drunk the milk of paradise, I first surmised the horses' heads were toward eternity. The lone and level sand stretched far away. Through Eden took their solitary way until human voices wake us and we drown." And this is the English major question.
Is one of them Yeats?
No.
I was not an English major.
But it's in, they're all of that kind of big time. These are all in
the paint. Is one of them T.S. Eliot?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Do you want to guess which one?
give me, just read them once more.
Okay. "And drunk the milk of paradise." One. Two, "I first surmised the horses' heads were toward eternity." Number three, "The lone and level sand stretch far away." Number four, "Through Eden took their solitary way." And number five, "Till human voices wake us and we drown."
The last one sounds the most like Eliot.
It is.
All right.
So which poem?
It's one of the longer.
It's one of the big ones. In the one that
one ever, of the quartet.
The Wasteland.
Nope, and not the quartet. The other one.
the Cocktail Party.
No, that's a play.
Oh, that's. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Proof Rock.
Yes.
Proof Rock.
The love song of J.F. Yeah. You knew him, right?
Yeah. Good.
All right. So that's
we went
one
to
of
college
them.
Together.
We're
working.
All right.
You're
strange. Kind
same fraternity.
It sounded like.
All right. So there's four still.
All right. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hey, it's Kevin in Los Angeles.
Hey, Kevin.
Couple questions for
right.
you. Who was the first person on Saturday Night Live to drop the F-bomb live on the air?
Was it a woman?
It was not a woman.
The one that stands out, it was Charles Rocket.
No.
Okay, so that's 1980 or 81.
This is the first one, and it is in 1980.
It was in 80? So that's the original cast still.
No. Well...
Right? They lessened up, except for Chevy, didn't they lessen
it up? They all say it's the 1979 to 1980 season. So
okay,
it's
so a bunch of the original.
Was it one of the cast members or the guest star?
It was a person who is a cast member in that fifth year. I'm getting a lot of clues right there.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase.
No, he wasn't there anymore.
He was gone.
Bill Murray.
And
no.
You said it wasn't a woman.
It's not a woman. It's somebody who you don't normally think of as a cast member of Saturday Night Live, but they were a cast member in that fifth year.
Oh.
Is it... No, I said it was a cast member.
But we don't think of him as a cast member.
But you don't... No, you don't think of this person as a cast member because they were only there for maybe a year?
No. You don't think of him as a cast member because... You normally associate them with a different aspect of the show.
Oh,
then
like
for 40 years.
How about like Don Pardo then?
You're closer. You're in the closer realm that way.
Not him.
How about Michael O'Donoghue?
No.
Okay, but Don Pardo.
Pardo would never say that. He was totally.
Well, you know,
it's a great guess though. But that kind of thing we don't associate him with the cast.
So
do we associate him as a writer more than a performer?
You associate him more as a performer than a writer.
Okay.
Who is the band? Was there a band leader?
It's Paul Schaefer. No, it wasn't.
There you go. Oh, you got it.
Paul Schaefer.
Really?
Paul Schaefer, yeah.
He was it, huh? Oh, cool.
He was the band leader on Saturday Night Live?
I know he was a cast member.
He was never the band leader on Saturday Night Live.
He was the piano player, right?
Oh. Okay.
He was always the piano player behind Bill Murray and when he did the nightclub act.
Right. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Paul Schaefer. Good for him.
Here's the other SNL question I have for you. Everyone knows, well, you guys will know who the first host was of SNL. Was
George Carlin.
Right.
Yeah. But after the cast turned over for year six, and they had a completely new cast and a completely new producer, who was the first host in the 1980 season? Season six.
What is this person best known for? Now, like a movie star kind of thing?
Yes. Or? Definitely known as a movie star.
Is it a woman?
Nope. It's a man. You don't know, so I'll leave it out there.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. So in 1980, the host the first year of 1980, first show of 1980?
Yeah. Okay. Of the 1980-1981 season.
Yeah. Okay. Leave it out.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Dana, did you say that best-selling female novelist was American?
I never said.
Is she?
I want the name of the book. That's what I'm
Is it an American novel?
No, it's not.
Oh. You don't want the author, just the book.
I just want the book.
Is the author not well-known then?
The other's well known.
No, I think he's playing hard to get.
Well, he always is.
I think it's Agatha Christie. What's her best-selling book?
Oh,
we worked together.
I don't know.
One of those. Ten Little Indians.
Yeah, Ten Little Indians.
No.
Okay.
No. And
who needs his composer question, by the way?
All right, let's see. Whose turn is it here? I think it's your turn, Lori.
No, I asked the poetry one.
Oh.
It's yours.
I was trying to block that out. All right.
I have another 30-minute question if you want to.
So... Didn't the cocktail party have some?
Turns out that's right.
I thought it was a play in poetry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
That's not the right answer.
Okay. All right. According to Slate Magazine, and they did this with obviously the help of IMDb. Who are the five most filmed authors who did not write originally in English? Who are the five authors that have had the most movies made from their work, but these authors did not write originally in English? So I'll give you each one guess.
Wow.
Well, that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
And on the order of how many films are we talking about? More like 10?
A lot.
But like 50?
Okay, like dozens.
About,
dozens each.
How about George Simenon?
That's a good guess, but no, not that.
It's a very good guess. They had a lot of movies.
Yeah,
there aren't really any mystery writers on. I mean, there may have been one or two mysteries these people wrote, but they're not really mystery writers, if that helps.
So I'll just
read it once more. Yeah, according to Slate Magazine, who did this with IMDb, who are the five most filmed authors, in other words, the five authors who have had the most movies made from their work that did not write originally in English?
I got to think about it. Yeah, no.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You think about that.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Aren't there like 20 movies made from seminar novels?
There's, well, maybe, both these authors have more than, considerably more than that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, considerably more.
And the movies are well known?
Yeah, but they can well be made enough. Also in other languages.
Yeah, all right.
So you got to keep that in mind.
Yeah. Well, if it's any of the Indian authors, I would
know that. No Indian. Okay. They're all European.
Okay.
Okay. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, T.S. Eliot expert Laurie Fisher, and I am your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. The number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Or 866-798-8255. That's a toll-free number, so feel free to call us. Let's go to a call right now. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is David Price Weldy in San Francisco.
Hi, David. Nice to hear from you.
Hi. I have a possible answer to Jerry's question for composers.
Yeah.
Would it either be Hoagy Carmichael or Jimmy Webb?
No, both excellent guesses, but not those.
Okay, and then my question tonight is, in 1954, Joe DiMaggio, who was born in Martinez, married Marilyn Monroe. How long were they married?
Just about, I think, a year or two at most.
Yeah, and just a couple of years. They were. Let's see, they were married into 55 because they were, when she did the...
7 year
itch. Yeah. They were married. Mm-hmm.
I'll say two years.
Yeah, maybe 2 or 3 years.
It was only 9 months.
Oh, that's it. Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
But thanks for it's such a fascinating question, and thanks for the poetry question, Lori. It's stumping the heck out of me.
Well, very good. Dana can't contain his eye rolls, but I appreciate that very much.
No, David, if you enjoy it, that's fine.
So, wait a minute.
That's all we do for.
The movie was made in 55. He said they were married in
54, I thought he guessing. Said. I'm not sure. Maybe Dana knows.
Okay.
No, Dana doesn't
okay.
know.
Okay. All right. Thank
but
you.
But the movie was probably
But you're probably as close as anybody
right. I think 9 months is right.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
Because I was wondering if they were divorced, why he would be hanging around.
Well, they stayed friends. I know that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that would explain it. Okay.
Right.
Good.
Well, have a good night.
Thank you, David. All right, we're about halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry, you go first.
Well, what American songwriter had the most songs on the charts in the 20th century? Pre-rock era, mostly. And Time magazine once had a famous all-black cover. What was the reason?
And the composer, does the composer compose mostly for Broadway songs? Is that where a lot of the songs come from?
No, mostly Tin Pan Alley.
Okay.
Not movies?
And movies, too. Movies, too, yes, of course, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think he wrote many for... he wrote one famous score, yeah, Broadway score.
Really?
No, wait, that was taken from a movie. It mostly movies and Tin Pan Alley.
Harry Warren.
Yes.
Oh,
how'd you get that?
He has just an astonishing array of great songs.
And
that he wrote.
People don't know him, but they know all the songs.
Yeah.
Did he write any musicals?
He did in the very early, before he went to Hollywood.
Very good. He was Italian.
That just
was
amazing.
His real name was...
He was Italian.
Yeah,
I can't think of his
Italian name. Born, I think, actually, yeah. Harry Warren.
All right.
Very good.
Was that your only question? Do you have anything else to repeat?
The Time magazine.
Oh, yeah, you did that. Okay. Yeah. All right,
I'm
Laurie.
Looking for the three colleges not in California that received the most applications for admission, and then I'm looking for the poems for which these are the last lines. In Drunk the Milk of Paradise, I first surmised the horses' heads were toward eternity, the lone and level sand stretched far away, and through Eden took their solitary way. We got the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock, and none of the others are T.S. Eliot.
Mm-hmm. Dana, what's the biggest college in Texas?
University of Texas in Austin.
Yeah, that's a great. That's what you think it would be. I think it's just the next on the list.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Did you repeat? Yeah, you.
I got.
Okay,
I
you got
the college.
All right. Let's see. So I asked the two cities in the world with the largest synagogues. Neither is in Israel. Jerry got one, which is New York City, the Temple Emmanuel. What is the other one? I'm looking for that.
Not in Madrid.
Not Madrid. And according to... what is the best-selling novel of all time by a woman author? So I want the name of the book. What is the best-selling novel of all time by a woman author?
About the synagogue question,
Paris. It's not the book. What?
Paris.
Paris? No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
And, so according to Slate Magazine, did this with IMDb, who are the five authors that have been the most movies made of their work that did not write originally in English? So who are the five most filmed authors who did not write originally in the English language? And, okay.
Is a number for most of them like in the... 5 or 10, or is it like 25?
They said it was more.
Oh, dozens. Yeah. Dozens. Well, a lot.
Dozens. Wait a minute.
Well, if you hear the names of the authors, then you'll figure it's going to be a lot.
Okay.
How about Alexandre Dumas?
Yes, that is one of them.
There you go.
You know how many versions of just the Three Musketeers there have been?
Yeah, the Count of Monte.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Not to mention the candy bar.
Now we're cooking.
Yeah.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
This is Billy from Bernal.
Hi, Billy.
Hi. How about Northwestern?
No.
That's a really good guess.
That's not it.
But not good enough.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's good enough. It's just not correct.
How about Simone Bouvier for The Second Sex?
No. That's also a good guess. But
really
no.
good.
Okay, well, I'm batting 1,000. How about Dostoevsky?
No. Too downbeat.
Come on, it's the new world. Ibsen.
No. Too downbeat. What's that?
Günter Grass?
No.
Ah, that's all I got.
Sorry.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
How about Victor Hugo?
No.
Mm-mm. No kidding.
No.
Good guess, too. Yeah.
That's following up on the Dumas thing.
Yeah. Mm. And, Jerry, I think it's your turn.
All right. In 1895, a YMCA coach coined the name Mintonette, Mintonette, for a new sport that we now call what?
Badminton.
No, it sounds like that. No.
Yeah.
Not badminton.
And it's not basketball either.
No.
Mintonette.
I don't know what connection it's that has to badminton. The sport, but...
That was this sport's original name.
Yeah.
Is it tetherball or volleyball?
No, volleyball.
Volleyball. Oh,
very good.
Nice. Yes.
That's the kind of thing that would have been invented in a YMCA.
Yeah, absolutely.
What does Mintonette have to do with
it? I don't know. I have no idea.
French for volley, maybe.
All right. Give another question here.
Oh, all right. Let's see. All right. The next question is, what showbiz gurus... known by other names, were born, I'll have to bear with me on the pronunciation. First one is Andreas Cornelius van Kuijk, or Kuijk, K-U-I-J-K, in Holland. K-U-I-J-K, Andreas Cornelius van Kuijk. And the second one is Wolf Wolodia Granjonka, G-R-A-N-J-O-N-K-A.
And these are show business.
Yeah.
People.
Yes.
Still living?
No.
Is either one of them Dirk Bogarde?
Both of them.
Why would you say Dirk Bogarde?
Because he has a Dutch name. He comes from.
Oh, yeah, no. These are gurus. These are.
Gurus, you said.
These are actual gurus.
Oh, I thought you said actor. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I thought he said show business gurus. Oh, but you meant gurus to show business people.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry.
Gurus to show business
people. Is one Werner Erhard?
No.
Okay. Somebody like that?
Yeah. No, is it not? Maybe gurus is not the best word. I would say, well, if I give you another word, you'll guess it right away. So,
like spiritual.
Not
leaders.
A spiritual.
Not spiritual.
No.
Oh, okay. Something, some other kind of guru. financial guru.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, financial.
Oh. Right.
Oh. Still not much.
Wolf? Garunk? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. All right.
So and these are people, they did something with people's money, or they made the money, or invested
it. They made the money,
They made the money.
They made the money.
Help make the money, yeah.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
That's supposed to be me.
It is you.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so best-selling author, female authors, is that Frankenstein?
No.
Good guess.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
How about Harry Potter?
No.
No, of course not. largest synagogue in Berlin?
No.
No? Okay. Authors that, filmed authors, Tom Stoppard?
No, they have to have not written originally in English.
Oh, I thought that was...
Well, he's Hungarian, but I guess he wrote in English.
Oh, yeah, he did write in English, yeah.
All right.
He doesn't have enough movies.
No.
No.
That's all I have, thanks.
Oh, sorry, thank you, though.
Okay, bye-bye.
And next call? Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Roger in San Francisco.
Hi, Roger.
Last lines, weave a circle round in thrice, for he on honeydew have fed and drunk the milk of paradise. That is Kubla Khan.
Yes, and drunk the milk of paradise by Coleridge. Very good.
The lonely level sand stretch far away, Ozymandias by Shelley.
Very good.
Why?
And I first realized the horses that Emily Dickinson because I could not stop for them.
Oh, excellent. Thank you.
Thank you for answering all those.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, we have one learned listener.
One left. Yeah. Through Eden right. Took their solitary way is the one that's out there.
Is that good enough for you, Dan?
Okay, fine. What is that wine? It's why
from,
is that?
That's from, it's from Fear Strikes Out.
Oh. About Jimmy, the great Jimmy Pearsall story about the...
yeah, I know about it. But, okay.
And
the guy who's not Bill Burke.
Yeah, right. Lori, I think it's your turn.
All right. Well, there's stuff going on all over the country about the minimum wage. A city in California just passed the largest minimum wage in the country on March 2nd. What city and what's the wage? And then I wanted to know when the minimum wage started, how much was it, what year and how it started, and which states have the lowest minimum wage right now.
Go through that whole thing.
So which, in March 2nd, a city in California instituted the highest minimum wage in the country. It's $12.25. Where is it? That's question one. Which state has the lowest minimum wage? And in the history, when did it all start and how much was it?
The highest in the state, San Jose?
No.
No. Is it a relatively small city?
No.
Well, San Francisco.
Well, it's not San Francisco.
Oh,
it's not, but it's in the Bay Area.
Oakland.
Yeah, it's Oakland.
Okay.
Oakland, California is the highest minimum wage in the country.
How much?
$12.25. Wow. It's going to be Seattle within 3 years.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, but it's not yet. Okay, then who has the lowest minimum wage? Which state? I also have the highest if you want it. And what year did it start? When did all this start and how much was the minimum wage?
Well, the minimum wage can only go so low according to federal law, right?
Well, four states have none. I don't know how they do it. I don't think they can go lower than that. They don't actually charge their employees to work as much as
they'd
like
to. They make them pay to work.
Yeah, you know, they'd like to.
Huh. All right.
Okay. And when did it start and how much when they started it?
I think it started under Wilson. I think the minimum wage is in the teens. No, Wilson?
A little later.
A little later than that? Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, we can leave it out there.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, it's Pauline.
Hi, Pauline. Oh,
I know you.
Hi. Good. Well, I was bummed because they knocked out almost all my poetry questions.
Oh.
The last one is Milton.
Yes. Which poem?
That's a very fine question. I don't remember.
It's a Paradise Lost. Through Eden took their solitary way. There they go. Very good. That's the last
so
of the
poems. I'm glad you did justice to my love song of J. Alfred Prufrock, my all-time favorite poem.
Great.
I've got a guess potentially on the best-selling woman author, because if it's a bunch of books, how about Agatha Christie?
I want the name of the book.
He's playing.
Oh, it's a single book.
He's playing tough
single
on
book.
This one.
Single book. Yeah.
Okay. Then it's not. So it is Agatha Christie? Right?
I'm just saying I want the name of the book.
Guess an Agatha Christie title that's not Ten Little Indians. He's not telling us anything.
Laurie guessed Ten Little Indians. Yeah, that's
that
not
wasn't
right.
It.
That's their best known.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Mousetrap is what ran for long.
Yeah, that's
a play.
That's the play.
I know, but it's...
Like the cocktail party.
in poetry.
And how about the synagogue? Could the largest synagogue be Rome?
No, not Rome. Hmm. It is in Europe. I can give you that.
Okay. I don't know. Okay, well, those are my guesses.
Okay, thank you, Pauline.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. I'm going to give you three autobiographies of famous people, and I want you to tell me who they are. Okay? So there are three here. Memories, Dreams, Reflections. That is one. Number two is A Little Learning. And number three is Boy, comma, Tales of Childhood. So number one is Memories, Dreams, Reflections. Number two is A Little Learning. And number three is Boy, comma, Tales of Childhood.
Are these show business people?
None authors? Of them are show business people.
Well, Boy would be the actor who is in Tarzan.
No. Johnny Sheffield?
Johnny
no.
Sheffield,
no,
yeah.
Not Johnny Sheffield. So they're literary or semi-literary.
A Little Learning.
Yes. Hmm. Two of them are quite famous authors. They're all famous authors, but two wrote in fiction and mostly in
one. Mirrors, one Dreams, and what's the last word?
Memories, Dreams, and Reflections.
Is Boy, Tales of Childhood, is that George Orwell?
No, it is a British author, however.
Yeah, it sounds like a boy. Yeah.
A very well-known British author. They're all very well-known people. Extremely well-known. All right.
Okay.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi. Is that me?
It is you.
Oh, it's Vicki from San Francisco.
Hi, Vicki.
Let's see. The town of Hell, Michigan.
Oh,
good job.
It's not a city, per se.
For what's the answer? Town. What's this the answer to?
Ed had called in and said, where is Hell, more or less.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Smaller town. And is the college with the high enrollment, is one of them Colorado State University?
It's not. It has high enrollment and high admission, high applications, not in the top 10.
Okay, and I had a third one. Didn't Carl Jung write a book called Memories, Dreams, and Reflections?
You're absolutely right. Carl Jung. Very good.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hey, Peter.
For a woman author, how about Margaret Mitchell, Gone with the Wind?
Nope. Ooh. It's Agatha Christie. You know, I'm tired of playing hard to get about that.
But now we still need the book title.
We just need the book.
It is Agatha Christie.
It is Agatha Christie.
Okay. Mysterious Spirit Styles?
No.
Murder on the Orient Express?
No.
Okay, well, I'm just guessing. But I do have a question.
Yes.
Where would you find Offa's Dyke?
Say it again.
Offa's Dyke.
Spell it.
O-F-F-A. Must be S. D-Y-K-E.
Offa's Dyke.
Offa's
This calls to mind many jokes, but I'm not going to even stop.
We'll do it.
Can you give us some idea of what kind of structure it is? Or?
It's a right. wall of dirt.
Right. It is not in the Netherlands, I'm assuming.
No.
And is it a local thing?
No.
It's not a local thing, but it is famous.
Yes.
Not to us, but it's famous.
Known in history.
Oh.
In history.
Okay.
Could you spell that one more time?
O-F-F-A.
Offa, Offa.
It is famous in history, but it is not a mythological thing.
No, no. Offa was an 8th century king.
Yeah. An 8th century king. Okay.
Now you go back to the 10th century.
So, unless they were on the Hippolyte. Let's see. 8th century king. Is this a European thing?
Yes.
Did this dike serve any purpose other than to keep back water, or is it possible to keep back barbarians or something like that?
It was more of a line in the sand.
Ah. Line in the sand.
Was it in London?
No.
No, okay. Offa.
Or England? That's not England.
Doesn't sound very English.
Okay. It is England.
Oh, it is England.
It is England.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, Offa was a Saxon.
Oh.
Give up. You don't know.
Well, I'd like to try to figure it out. Let's see. England. Okay. All right, what is it?
It's a wall that goes north-south on the east side of Wales, dividing Wales and the rest of England, that Offa built to keep the Celts away from the Saxons.
Hmm. How about that?
All right.
It wasn't really a defensible wall, but he said, you know, I rule on this side, you know, you do what you want on that side.
Hmm. All right.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
And Jerry loves those kind of questions. next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
The Agatha Christie, is that Pocket Full of Rye?
No.
Okay. What about these people who are not Americans writing novels for movies?
They don't necessarily have to be novels. They can be short stories or plays.
So anyway, I'm going to guess Balzac or Zola.
I'm sorry, Balzac or who?
Zola.
No, neither one.
And the autobiographies, boy, Roald Dahl?
That's right, Roald Dahl.
Very good.
Very good.
Do you have a minute to play a Doris Day trivia?
All right, go ahead.
Always time for that.
They'll let us extend
over. She might be listening.
She might be.
So basically, I watched one of her movies recently, and I realized that she's got five movies that have a word in it that's totally bed-related.
Pillow talk.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. Move over, darling. No, that's not.
Yeah, that would be one.
No, no. Oh, well, you could actually do
you
that.
Could, you could, yeah, that's
but I was thinking, like, just a word.
Oh, it's just a word, okay.
Word in the title.
Oh.
So, but it has to have something to do with the bed. Kind
well,
of.
Well, it doesn't have to be the bed. Something you might do in bed. Something that happens when you're in bed.
With six, you get egg roll.
Yeah, right.
Chinese food in bed. What could be better?
Okay, all right. Let me think.
Midnight lace.
I thought of that, too. No.
You guys are quite elaborate.
Yeah.
You wear to bed.
Okay. Well, it's in the Rock Hudson genre, I think.
No,
Tony
no,
Randall. No, it isn't.
No. It is the Rock Hudson. The other two are quite early. Gene Nelson and S.C. Sakal is in one of them.
Oh.
Oh, Lullaby of Broadway?
Yeah. No, that's not bedroom.
Well, that's
Lullaby, yeah, you're right.
Lullaby.
Oh, Lullaby. Okay. All right.
How many? Three more?
There's three more. One was a Broadway musical.
Oh, Pajama Game.
Pajama Game. Yeah. Very good.
There you go. Oh, that's
and then
cute.
The other two are really early. I think one is with Danny Thomas.
Love Me or Leave Me.
You had the right idea. Not Love Me or Leave Me. It's I'll See You in My Dreams.
And the other one has that word in it.
Dreams?
Yeah.
Dream.
Oh, yeah.
It's singular rather than plural. I won't see you in my dreams.
Right.
And it's a song.
Dream Lover?
No, Dream.
Da-dee-da-da. Da-dee-da-da. I can't remember who is in it, but it's like almost 40s. 40s, early 50s.
Oh, not Romance in the High Seas. It's the one after that. It's
Jack Carson?
Yeah, and Dennis Morgan.
Okay, so you're so close, I can say My Dream is Yours?
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Good question.
Bye. Thank you.
Inventive question, yeah.
That's right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I'm Jeff from San Leandro. I've got two questions for you, but let me guess on the universities first. I've got three guesses. Okay. Arizona State?
Nope.
Notre Dame.
Excellent guess, but no.
That's a good guess.
Rice.
Not Rice.
Okay, the two questions. men's fashions changed a while back where men stopped wearing hats. What was the event?
Not me.
Well, Kennedy.
Kennedy did not,
Kennedy
wear,
did
one
not wear a hat
at his inauguration.
At his inauguration.
Yeah.
That's right. Last question. Usually, programs on radio, the better ones went to TV. There was one program that started on TV that went to radio. What was that?
Have Gun, Will Travel.
Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke.
Really?
Right, in the 50s, yeah. I remember that.
I think Have Gun, Will Travel.
I thought William Conrad was on the radio version, and they changed it when it went to TV.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's right.
No? I'm wrong?
Okay.
They were on it simultaneously.
Thank you.
Enjoy your program. Keep the good work.
But I thought
thank you very much.
Was on
yeah,
first.
I think you're right, Lori.
All right, stop squabbling.
Okay.
We're agreeing.
We're agreeing.
Oh, stop agreeing. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hey, guys. It's Alec in San Francisco.
Hi, Alec.
So my guess is about the non-English writing authors with the movies are Jules Verne.
No.
And Hans Christian Andersen.
Yes.
Oh.
Hans Christian Andersen.
Yes.
Very good.
Okay. All right. Question for you about cars.
Mm-hmm.
So in the early 70s, Dodge, the company, had to change the name of a production car to the Dodge Dart Sport. And they had to do this because the prior name was met with protests. What was the prior name?
Ooh. It was something that meant a bad word in another language, didn't it? Or an insult of some kind?
No, not that.
Not that, okay. It was met with protests.
I think there was some car, some other product that is true. Yeah. I can't remember what it was. The Japanese.
It was offensive politically?
In a way, yeah.
In another language? To another culture, I mean?
No.
Oh.
To our culture.
Our culture, yeah.
Well, two elements of our culture.
Uh-huh.
Elements of our
culture. The Dodge Schmuck.
That was such a big seller.
No, we don't know. We don't know.
Did not do well.
It did.
Did not pass the test audience. Did not test well.
What was it? We have no idea.
It was the Dodge Demon.
Oh, well.
Oh, the religious.
Okay.
That's not a bad name for your car.
Well, yeah. For religious people.
I would have bought one, but yeah.
I would have bought a schmuck.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Wells. This is Brian in Moraga.
Hi, Brian.
I had an idea on the most number of books sold by a female author. Would that have been To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee?
No, not that.
Good guess.
Darn.
It's Agatha Christie.
It is Agatha Christie.
Oh, it is. You already got that.
We got the author, but not
the
name.
We pried it out of him, yeah.
Right.
Okay, very good. How about the Time Magazine black cover? You know, every year they have a, quote, Man of the Year. Sometimes it's more than one and not a man.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a year that they decided not to award it?
Ooh. No, that's an interesting guess, but that's not it.
All right, strike two. How about, and I guessed on the non-English author, but you just got that one vindicated. And I would have guessed Vladimir Nabokov, but apparently not.
No,
he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about for colleges, large number of applications? University of Illinois?
No, my alma mater, but not on the list.
Well, I'm 0 for 0.
All right.
Anyway, guys, it was fun.
All right, thank you.
The murder of Roger Ackroyd.
No. Time to clean up here. What do we got? Jerry?
Oh, okay. Well, Time Magazine's famous all-black cover was for the cover story. 1966 is God Dead.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember that. I do. And the two showbiz gurus known by other names. The first is Andreas Cornelius van Kuyk. From London, from Holland, that was Colonel Tom Parker.
Oh, yeah, right.
Who was neither a colonel nor a Tom Parker.
Right.
And Wolf Volodya, I guess, Granjonka, was Bill Graham.
Oh. All right. Laurie.
All right. The first minimum wage is in 1933 for 25 cents an hour, and Mississippi, Tennessee, Alabama, and Louisiana do not have minimum wage. The three top colleges that had the most applications were Penn State University, Drexel University in Philadelphia, where my daughter-in-law teaches, and St. John's University in New York.
That's where you get a right-to-work state.
Yes.
St. John's.
St. John's, yeah.
Okay, the best-selling novel of all time by a woman. You kept saying Ten Little Indians. That is not the title.
Oh,
the title is And Then There Were
and
None.
And Then There Were None. I was going to say that. I thought, no, that's the same
So
novel.
I couldn't accept that. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
I got it in my head.
Yeah,
okay.
Like
according to the five most filmed authors who did not write originally in English, Chekhov, Alexander Dumas, Hans Christian Andersen, The Brothers Grimm, and Molière. Let's see. Is that everything? Oh, yes. A Little Learning, the autobiography is of Evil and Waugh.
Oh.
So if we can get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m., We certainly hope you enjoy the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. Our panel tonight was well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from Dabble Valley College. Laurie Fisher, thank you very much, Laurie. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Damian Miner and Steve Wilcock for handling the board and phones. Thanks, everybody, for joining us, and we look forward to being with you again next Sunday. Bye-bye.
You're listening to K.